Welcome on over to another show. Today's episode is being sponsored by Ladder Financial. I'm your host, Matt Tardio, and today we're going to be going over the death toll inside of Gaza. Now, I understand that this is a very sensitive subject for a lot of different people, so I'm going to do my best not to offend anybody and just put the facts and information out there, because a brand new article got released today by the Associated Press that does a deep dive into the figures that the Palestinian Health Authority has been releasing over the course of this war. And I'm going to be honest with you, the percentage difference in some of the women and children being reported versus what you've been told have a pretty large difference. In April alone, all right, according to the Gaza Health Ministry, it is a 33% difference between what they reported and what the Associated Press was able to figure out just by digging through the names and numbers that the Palestinian Health Authority did. A 33% difference in women and children that they reported as being dead. Now, this is especially significant because just yesterday, the UN Secretary General warned Israel that they'd be placing the IDF on the same exact list that they put terror organizations such as ISIS. That is a group or organization that likes to kill women and children, or that is known for doing it. They're putting them in the exact same box as ISIS. Yesterday, though, the Secretary General hadn't actually signed off on putting the IDF on the list, but it was expected to happen today. And why wouldn't the UN Secretary General want to do that? Because organizations such as the World Health Organization, as recently as May, expressed full confidence in the Palestinian Health Authority on their reporting of the death toll inside of Gaza. Now, in the past, the Palestinian Health Authority has actually done a pretty decent job in conflicts between them and the Israeli Defense Force, showing, okay, that they did have a history of accurate reporting, but it doesn't seem like it's going that way anymore. Now, as I go over this article with you, I want to let you know I already found some flaws, or what I believe to be flaws, in what they reported. So take everything I'm telling you with a grain of salt, but it is damning information, to say the absolute least. And one of the very first flaws that I noticed said, in two recent airstrikes in Gaza, dozens of civilians got killed. And they put that right up front. So I clicked on it to see what airstrikes they were talking about. And these are the airstrikes that they're actually talking about. They are quite literally talking about the UN school that got bombed yesterday by the Israeli Defense Force in a very precise bombing. I showed you videos on the live broadcast of just how precise that bombing was done. And the IDF says that they actually held off on conducting that airstrike multiple times because of the presence of civilians on the ground. Now, with all of that being said, let's go ahead and start getting into the numbers that the Associated Press says are just way the hell off. So we're going to be talking about the percentage of women and children. Now, in October, according to the numbers that got released by the Palestinian Health Authority, the number of women and children, or the percentage of women and children who were killed in the conflict, was above 60%. However, according to the PHA's own data, in April, that number dropped to below 40% worth of women and children who are involved in the civilian death count. Now, I'm going to read to you a direct quote from this article. The daily death tolls, however, are provided without supporting data. In February, ministry officials said 75% of the dead were women and children, a level that was never confirmed in detailed reports. And as recently as March, the ministry daily reports claimed that 72% of the dead were women and children, even as underlying data clearly shows the percentage was well below. That within itself is very troubling information, but they go a little bit deeper into talking about those particular figures as well. And they say that in April alone, that 29% of its total didn't even have identifying information for the dead people that they claim. But the trouble doesn't end there either. They also found duplicates being on the list numerous times throughout this entire thing. In April alone, they found 22 duplicate names. Now, to go a little bit deeper in quoting the article, we have other issues that end up coming with the Palestinian Health Authority's numbers. And I'm just going to go ahead and quote the article because they state it very clear. The number of Hamas militants killed in the fighting is also unclear. Hamas has closely guarded this information. A top Hamas official told the Associated Press in late April that the group had lost no more than 20% of its fighters, and that would amount to roughly 6,000. 1,000 fighters based on Israeli pre-war estimates. But the Israeli military has not challenged the overall death toll released by the Palestinian ministry, but it says the number of dead militants is much higher at roughly 15,000, or overall about 40% of all of the dead. It has provided no evidence to support the claim and declined to comment for this story. Now, I can tell you personally from my experience of being in the military that a lot of those figures that are being put out by the IDF are from like after action reports or battle damage assessments. They are calculating the number of Hamas fighters they believe that they had killed following an airstrike or after a specific engagement from units on the ground. They're just going to call up the number of enemy dead that they believe that they had killed. Now, using those figures, I will personally tell you from my own experience, sometimes they are either overinflated or under, but either way, they tend to essentially cancel each other out. But despite all of this information, the Palestinian Health Ministry is actually sticking to their guns on their claims that 2/3 of those killed inside Gaza are women and children. And I'm going to quote the article again. The health minister says it has gone to great lengths to accurately compile information, but that its ability to count and identify the dead has been greatly hampered by the war. Well, no kidding. The fighting has crippled the Gaza health system, knocking out 2/3 of the territory's 36 hospitals, which closed morgues and hampering the work of facilities and functioning. Dr. Salah, director of the ministry's emergency center, rejected Israeli assertions that his ministry has intentionally inflated or manipulated the death toll. They quote him and they say, "This shows disrespect to the humanity for any person who exists here," he said. "We are not numbers. These are human tolls." And he insisted that 70% of those killed have been women and children and said the overall death toll is much higher than what has been reported because thousands of people remain missing, are believed to be buried in rubble, or their deaths were not reported by their families. So if anything, he doubles down on the fact that they have been using family members to verify whether or not these people are alive or dead. Nothing verifiable, just that family members are reporting them dead. Further, he starts talking about civilians being buried underneath rubble. Now, that number I would expect to be significantly lower than a lot of people are putting out there because the Israeli Defense Force has been warning Palestinian civilians to leave the area, and they have left in mass. We had 1.6 internally displaced civilians inside Rafah alone. Not to mention, they were also displaced inside of Khan Yunis, down on the beach, lots of different locations where they've been displaced. And there's lots of videos showing them moving from the conflict zones. Israel's done a very good job sending out text messages, along with dropping flyers, along with doing roof knocks and lots of other things in order to warn Palestinians to leave prior to airstrikes. That is exactly why you are seeing video after video after video inside of Gaza of these Israeli airstrikes on the buildings with people standing there waiting with their camera for the airstrike to actually hit. Just using the health ministry's own data, the Associated Press took a look at the percentage of women and children that were killed. And that is on this chart right here in the middle of your screen. What they discovered is that through their data, 64.4% of those being reported as dead were women and children all the way back in October. But those numbers declined all the way down to 54.3% in April. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are anything like me, you have a certain tendency to put things off until the very last minute. I personally do not like doing my taxes, and I absolutely despise beyond the shadow of a doubt going to the dentist. And while most of the time it works out, there's one thing in life that you really cannot afford to wait on, and it's setting up term coverage life insurance. You've probably seen life insurance commercials on TV and thought, yeah, I can take a look at that later. Telling you right now, no, don't do it. Get after it. This isn't something you can wait on. Choose life insurance through Ladder today. Ladder is 100% digital, no doctors, no needles, and no paperwork when you apply for $3 million in coverage or less. Just answer a few questions about your health in an application. Ladder's customer rates them 4.8 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot, and they made Forbes' Best Life Insurance 2021 list. You just need a few minutes and a phone or a laptop to apply. Ladder's smart algorithms work in real time, so you find out if you're instantly approved. No hidden fees, cancel anytime. Get a full refund if you change your mind in the first 30 days. Ladder's policies are issued by insurers with long proven histories of paying claims, and they're rated A and A+ by AM's Best. Finally, since life insurance costs more as you age, now is the time to cross it off your list. So go to ladderlife.com/Rob today and see if you're instantly approved. That's LADDER life.com/Rob, ladderlife.com/Rob. Now, is there a drastic difference between 70% versus 50% or 2/3 versus roughly 50%? Well, not really, in my opinion, when you're talking about women and children being killed inside of a conflict zone. So let's be perfectly clear about that. But the issue is not whether or not it's 70% versus 50%. It's really, is it 38%? And if all of those numbers are inaccurate, then what is the actual death toll? Because right now the world is rallying against Israel, about to label them in the exact same way that we label ISIS and other terror organizations around the world. Additionally, the Associated Press doesn't take into account the amount of civilian casualties that are also likely caused by Hamas. Instead, just like the rest of the world, they're blaming every single death on the Israeli Defense Force. Hamas has constantly been firing mortars into the Gaza Strip aimed at the Israeli Defense Force inside populated areas. And in videos such as this one, you can actually see just how much this mortar tube actually moves because it's not properly seated, right? You can actually see the muzzle of that mortar tube just sink further and further as this guy slings rounds. Now, for those of you that don't know, you actually have to be really precise with mortar rounds if you want them to get anywhere near where you want them to hit. Just a small deviation like that is enough, depending on the distance you're shooting them, to throw them off as far as a kilometer. But it's not just the mortar rounds that are an issue for Hamas. They also routinely launch rockets like this, often leaned up against bags of humanitarian aid that they stole, or rocks, or other random things they can find lying around Gaza. And there is absolutely no way that they could accurately aim these. Now, that not only brings into question the amount of civilian deaths that are inside Gaza, which are caused by the IDF, but also the amount of damage to civilian structures that are being blamed on the IDF. Now, the issue of Hamas shooting mortar rounds and rockets is not an isolated issue. As a matter of fact, this occurs a lot more often than people realize. They actually do this on a daily basis inside of Gaza, and God only knows where half those things are landing. Now, I've pointed this out before and I'll say it again, but when you're shooting large mortar rounds out of your line of sight, you typically have to use a sight on side of that mortar tube to tell which direction they're going. And in no video that Hamas has ever produced since this war started of them firing mortar rounds, have I ever seen a single sighting system on any of their mortar systems, not one. And that's okay when you're shooting little mortars like 60s and you know the general direction and the general distance of where they're going to go. But once you start stepping up into the big boy tubes like 120s, which they even shoot in this video, well, ladies and gentlemen, all bets are off. You have no idea where that sucker is really going to land. Even the United States military uses sophisticated devices that actually grab input from weather data and put together something that's called the density altitude and lets them know the expected point of impact for their tubes. Now, I understand that some of you might not know what I'm talking about, so I'm going to show you this picture here of the 82nd Airborne with a 120 millimeter mortar tube. And what you see right here in between this guy in the tube is actually a sight for that mortar. That's what I'm talking about. That's how you actually aim these things. Now, here's another video that I'm going to show you of actual mortar teams. And what this gentleman is doing down here is he's looking through the sight as this guy hangs the rounds and fires them to make sure that they're actually going to the appropriate position. Okay, so as those rounds are firing, you can see him adjusting the gun as those rounds are going off, because even though the tube doesn't look like it's shifting, it certainly is. And just a couple mil difference will send those rounds impacting to where you don't want them to go. Now, even those rockets that I showed you earlier typically get fired out of something like this. And to be fair, the IDF has found several actual rocket launchers inside of the Gaza Strip. But notice how they're in tubes. And the reason they're like that is so that they stay on track and they actually fly in the direction in which they are intended to go. But when they're not launched out of a tube, I mean, picture a bottle rocket on the 4th of July just sitting inside of a freaking soda can, and how unpredictable they are. That's essentially what you're doing with these 107s when you're leaning them up against these little bags and rocks. Now, a lot of people don't even realize the significance of the impacts of some of these rockets and the type of damage they'll do. This is one that was fired by the Al-Qassam Brigades into Israel, showing the actual impact crater of one of those rockets and the amount of damage it actually does. Now, this was done out in an open field. Imagine if that had slammed into, I don't know, a home inside Gaza, the amount of damage that that would do, or the amount of potential people that it could kill. And again, they fired tens of thousands of these over the course of the last 8 months of war. Now, I would love to give you an actual figure of how many people have been killed by Hamas and how many people have been killed by the IDF and how many Hamas fighters have been killed and so on and so forth. How much damage was done by the IDF? How much damage was done by Hamas? The reality is nobody knows the actual answer, and to accuse Israel otherwise is beyond ignorant. It's actually dangerous because you're siding with a massive terrorist organization that has the aimed goal of overthrowing Israel completely. That's why these ceasefire negotiations are never going to work. And I don't say that lightly. I say that quite literally off of Hamas's own message in the document of general principles and policies, which is commonly referred to as the Hamas Charter. If you simply go down to paragraph 27, it lays it out pretty clear for you. And I'm going to zoom in so you could read it alongside of me. A real state of Palestine is a state that has been liberated. There is no alternative to a fully sovereign Palestinian state on the entire national Palestinian soil, where Jerusalem is its capital. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. I'll be back on Monday for another live broadcast bright and early at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. Of course, if Israel invades Lebanon, you can expect to see me going live. Ladies and gentlemen, peace, love, happiness, and God bless. I'm out of here.